You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone out there in the world and podcast world? Gerald is back for another bonus episode of Two Peas. I got a good friend of mine that's been on, I want to say once before, but I've been on his show, I think, five times. We're good friends. He's from down here in North Kakalaki, but he's out there sunning it up in California for God knows how long. And even when he comes back, he doesn't hit me up. It's ridiculous. But we get together on this video chat to do this countdown today. We are counting down our top five winter movies, movies that take place during winter time. So, of course, I had to have Justin Winters on. I'm going to make this a whole dad joke. Justin, what's up, brother? Welcome to Two Peas.
Gerald, it's always a pleasure, but today it's even more of a pleasure because you're so on the nose with this that it's crazy.
I'm killing it.
When you said this, I was like, I mean, I can't say no to that. Who else is going to do winter films than me? So,
yeah, who else can I get on this? I'm so glad you agreed to do it. I wouldn't have had to call it off.
I told Chrissy, I was like, Gerald wants me to do this. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And I said, that means that we need to go even more on the nose with Gerald and have him on our show and talk about like the top five Geralds in film or something.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the top five movies with guys creeping in the shadows or something. That's you love my creepy alter ego, so I didn't know where you were going with that. But well, I'll try to be a little less creepy today. Just I don't want to make you uncomfortable, you know.
Well, I feel like the winter season, you know, should up the creep content. So
that's right, man. That's right. So yeah, I mean, the criteria today, Justin, I just wanted to ask you. I mean, you know, I just name it top five winter movies, and I left Christmas movies off my list. I know there's a little debate going on out there of what constitutes a Christmas movie with stuff like, you know, Die Hard and et cetera. I won't name too many in case they show up on your list, but I don't know. What do you think, man? I mean, did you stay away from Christmas movies, or what constituted a winter movie for you?
Straight up, here's what I did. I figured out we were doing this, and I'm like, I don't want to cross the, because the one time I think I've been on for a top five, it was constant crossover. So I just like kept changing my list up on the fly. So it's because I was with Justin, East Coast Justin. Mm-hmm. So knowing you and knowing that we have a lot of favorite movies in common, like we have a similar sensibility, I'm like, okay. I've got to go no Christmas films and hope that Gerald includes Christmas films so we don't have the exact same top five.
Oh, man. Well, maybe I'll be switching it up then, because I decided to stay away from Christmas movies. But here's the reason, is because Andy and I are probably going to do a Christmas movies top five, which obviously will be all Christmas films. And then last year with Dan and Ashley, I did tangential Christmas movies, which, you know, are movies like Die Hard that take place at Christmas, but may not necessarily be Christmas. I didn't want to mention a lot of those again, because I just did that, you know, 11, 12 months ago. So I don't know. We'll see, man. I mean, you know, you're obviously welcome to switch it up on the fly. I know you like to do that because you like to avoid crossover. I kind of get locked into my five, but I do have a few of my honorables that I could throw in there if needed. So we'll just have a good time with it. But for me, it was just, is the majority of the film taking place at at winter time? So at like cold weather, snow, ice, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whether it is or not Christmas, you know, a lot of Christmas movies obviously will employ those tactics, but I just went wintertime and, you know, movies that I remember a lot of snow and stuff like that in. So that's how I decided to approach it.
Once I said no Christmas, I was like, bah humbug on Christmas films, so I can hopefully not have the same list. I thought, okay, winter, I'm a purist. My last name is Winters. So weather has a big part to play in all of my top five. So
awesome, brother. So Justin, for those of you that don't know, is from So I Married a Movie Geek. It's a podcast that I listen to every week. I love those guys, him and his wife, Chrissy, get together, and basically he's seen every movie on Earth and she hasn't seen any of them. And he introduces her to new films and they have a good time kind of talking about it. They also do this really cool thing called the Fantasy Movie Draft, which I've had the honor of being on, I think, 5 times. And Justin, what I just got into the Final Four that I'll be in for the 90s. Right.
So you're going to be in the semifinals of our 80s fantasy movie draft tournament.
80s. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. 80s.
So we've been going year by year. You won 1983. Yeah, so we've got a couple more years to go. And then 87 and 88 are going to be semifinal rounds. And 99 is going to be the finals. So,
I'm ready, man. But yeah, you guys make sure you check out Movie Geek. A lot of fun. And I'll let you plug it at the end too there, Justin. All right. So I'll tell you what. Let's get started, man. This might be a short episode. There's only two of us. They tend to go a little bit quicker, especially if we have crossover, but that's okay. We'll try to entertain people in a short period of time here. So you want to go first, man? You want to give me your number 5 winter movie? I'll let you go first.
So before I give my number 5, I will say that I mistakenly looked at the Facebook or Twitter, you asking for people to send in their favorites. And
right.
One person, I was like, oh, that sounds like my exact top 5. So
yeah.
That one person,
I had a lot on there too.
That one person will probably know once I reveal, but I had to change it up a little bit just so I wasn't exactly the same. So my number all 5, right. It might be surprising to some. It's a more newer film, but it stars one of my favorite actors because you could basically put him in any situation and he will excel. I'm talking about a movie called The Gray with Liam Neeson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw The Gray pop up on a couple lists when I was researching. But I saw this in the theater and I haven't seen it since. So I think that's why I couldn't really pick it. I don't really remember it too well. Talk about The Gray a little bit.
So
you love it.
Liam Neeson is a green eggs and ham type actor where you can put him on a plane. You can put him on a train. You can put him, you know.
you can put him in a boat.
He's just great. I like him a lot. So this The Gray is him versus the winter elements. It's a movie about a bunch of oil workers that are in a plane crash and in Alaska, and they have to try to survive, you know, being caught in the middle of nowhere in the worst possible winter elements plus wolves. So
right
that all that going on, and then you put Liam Neeson in it, I'm like, I'm down, and I think the film's great. So it's a good one just to hunker down and have some hot cocoa with all your bro friends, I guess. This is not one that you would, I guess, watch with your wife or maybe your wife would like this. I wouldn't say that. Anyway, it's definitely a dude bro, like, fuck winter, fuck wolves, let's punch them in the face type thing. So
I remember I saw it in a theater. I don't have the year on it, but I feel like this was probably shortly after the Taken deal, right? I feel like Taken came first.
Yes.
And he's just a badass, man. I do love Liam Neeson. I don't think he's on my list, though. Let me look. He's not going to be on my list, but I do love Liam Neeson. Good flick, man. I haven't seen that one in so long, but that obviously is winter because it's snowing the whole damn time. He's surviving the elements. And then, like you said, you throw wolves in there, and he just kind of gets into a...
Men versus winter. That's what that movie's all about, basically.
That's right. All right, so Liam Neeson kicking us off at number 5, The Gray for you, man. Good pick. All right, so, oh, man, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just put a disclaimer. I mean, you know this about me because we're tight, but I'm a horror junkie, you know what I mean? So I think there's going to be a lot of horror shouted out on my list today. And when I make these lists, I don't really realize that I pigeonhole myself until the end, and I'm like, oh, shit. But the first of 3 what would be considered horror movies at number 5 is Let the Right One In from 2008. Is my number 5. There was also a remake to this called Let Me In, which was the American version, which actually I also liked a whole lot. So I could kind of do a Let the Right One In / Let Me In at number 5. But I'm talking about the Swedish original from 2008. It's a, you know this one, Justin. You've seen this, right?
Of course. Classic.
I feel like, did y'all do this on your show? I feel like you did this, right?
I'm pretty sure we did.
I think you did too.
We love this one. And then when the second one came out, that's the one that was directed by Matt Reeves. We went and saw that. And he like talked afterwards. He's a low-key genius, and I didn't think it needed to be remade, but the way they did it, he added some things, but I think both of them are really entertaining. So
I do too. And you know, the remake with Chloe Moretz, I mean, she's turned out to be such an amazing actress, and that was early in her career. And Richard Jenkins is in there. He's one of the best character actors that I can remember. And that's a great remake. But you know, both of them follow the same story, right? And it's a vampire story. It's really a romance at its core. where this, you know, young girl who is a vampire who obviously doesn't age, she's kind of locked into her age, which I want to say is maybe 15-ish, right in the mid-teen years. And she just befriends this kid who's her age or who's that age. And they just end up kind of developing this beautiful friendship throughout the movie. But the horror piece is that she's still a vampire. She still has to, you know, feed on the living to survive. And the older gentleman kind of plays her handler, who helps her get corpses, basically, and get her food. So it's a very kind of dark movie, but it's right up my alley. It's the kind of thing I love. And it is a lot of it's set in the winter a lot. There's a lot of snow in both of the versions, a lot of blood in the snow, which I think is a really cool visual. So yeah, Let the Right One In from 2008 is my number five, and it was a last second addition to this list. I had another one at number five that I'll talk about in my honorable mentions, but that's what I decided to go with, which swings us over to you, man, for your number four. What do you got, Justin?
I was about to say, this is the one in our 2000s horror draft that our boy Dan Hill took number one in the entire draft.
I know, and then
he described it as the links. I'm paraphrasing him, but I think he said the links that some loser kid will go to just to have a friend.
You know, I listened to that episode and I feel for Dan every time, because it's weird, because it's like I agree with him when he makes these picks, but I'm going, there's no way anybody's going to vote for you for that, you know, except maybe me, you know. So I feel bad for him because he's definitely doing the heart thing, which I appreciate. You know that. So yeah, our boy Dan. Yeah.
Our boy Dan. So my number four is stars my favorite actor. It takes place on another holiday. It's classic in my eyes. Talk about Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Groundhog Day, okay.
So, what are the chances of getting out today?
The van still won't start. Larry's working on it.
Wouldn't you know it? Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Jim Beam, ice, water.
For you, miss?
Sweet vermouth in the rocks with a twist, please.
What are the chances of getting out of town today?
The van still won't start. Larry's working on it.
Oh, wouldn't you know it? Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Sweet vermouth, rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same. That's my favorite drink.
Mine, too. It always makes me think of Rome, the way the sun hits the buildings in the afternoon.
Well, what should we drink to?
To the groundhog.
I always drink to world peace.
So, like I said, favorite actor. I think it's a brilliant premise. Obviously rewatchable. It's hilarious. It's quotable. And it has a heart to it as well. It's a little bit of a deeper film for a comedy you would think would be coming from Bill Murray. So, and like I said, just Groundhog Day has entered the vernacular as, you know, you feel like you're experiencing deja vu over and over again. So, mm-hmm. I think it's a classic and I love it. And I couldn't have a top five winter films without it, man.
Where does Groundhog Day rank in like Bill Murray's catalog for you?
Second after Ghostbusters.
Okay. All right.
So, love the guy, love most of his work, but both those movies are I hold very close to my heart. Heart over head, Gerald. So,
yeah, I love Bill Murray, man. It was just when he pops up really in anything. Zombieland, you know, when he was, I love Scrooged, which could technically be another one. Mm-hmm. He's a good actor, man. I love him. He's funny, but he has that dramatic kind of piece, too. And, you know, a lot of people hated on it, but I loved Lost in Translation. Bill Murray's just a great actor, man. Good pick. I like it.
Thanks, man.
Groundhog Day. All right, so that was one that was on my radar, by the way, but I didn't put on my list. So we don't have any crossover yet, which is, you'll be happy to hear.
Strange. It's coming, man. I feel like it's coming.
It might be. So I went with a kind of a rare gem at number four. And this is one that, unless I'm just forgetting it, I didn't see anybody mention on social media. And I only saw on one list when I was doing my research. And I had kind of thought about it, and I'm like, because this could fall into a couple different categories. It could fall into sci-fi. It could fall into drama. It could fall into romance. You know, it stars one of my favorite actors, and we're talking about comedic actors kind of turn drama. And this guy did that in the early 2000s, and he can definitely do both. He's very versatile. But I'm going to go at number four with a movie from 2004. It's called Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I'm going to do as my number four winter film.
Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I have another idea for this problem. This is a memory of me. The way you wanted to have sex on the couch after you looked down on my crotch.
What?
Joel, The eraser guys are coming here, so what if you take me somewhere else? Somewhere where I don't belong. And we hide there till morning.
Man, I can't remember anything without you.
That's very sweet, but try, okay?
Okay.
You've seen this one, obviously, right?
I have. I didn't even think of it for this. So, good one,
yeah.
Gerald.
Yeah, you know, Jim Carrey. I mean, Jim Carrey is, in my opinion, I cannot believe that he has not been recognized by the Academy yet for some of the work he's done in the last 10 or 15 years. This is one of them. You know, Man on the Moon. I mean, even Cable Guy, you know, where he kind of played that just psycho kind of just wannabe, you know what I mean? But he's just, he has a lot of range, man. He's a very versatile actor, and I love him. I always have since the Ace Ventura days, and I kind of love his turn into drama. And this is a really heart-stricken story. I mean, Kate Winslet's in there, who I also love. I know Chrissy loves from Titanic, of course. But yeah, Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet really carry this film. It's an indie film. It's dark. It has its moments where it shines, no pun intended, but it's a dark romance, a dark love story. And there's a lot of great winter scenes in this film. And it kind of takes on the meaning of winter. Kind of you feel like winter when you watch this movie. You feel a little heavy. You feel a little dark. But you want to come out of it kind of shining, which is what the point of the movie is as well. Elijah Wood's pretty creepy in it, so maybe I will get a little creepy today, but he's in there. But yeah, Eternal Sunshine, you know, I haven't seen this one in a couple years, but I thought about it right away because of one scene in particular when Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey are laying out on the ice and looking up at the stars together, and I remember them being bundled up throughout the whole movie, so it obviously takes place during cold weather, and yeah, I decided to throw it on there, man, and I love that movie, so Eternal Sunshine is my number four.
Snowy beach scenes in that movie.
Snowy beach scene. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love that film. Charlie Kaufman. It's a definitely heart. It hurts your heart to watch it, but it's an amazing film. Mm-hmm. So, I agree, man. I missed that one, man. So that was your number four, correct?
That was my number four, which takes us to your number three.
Okay. So here's where we might have some cross ups. So,
all right. Okay. I'm ready.
One huge thing that Gerald and I have in common, other than, again, I'm wearing my Carolina attire just for Gerald today. So I'm an original cackalacker, but we also have an author that we love in common. So my number three.
Oh, shit. We're getting into something here. I know. I can tell.
It's for my birth year. I'm talking about The Shining.
Yeah. Stanley okay. Kubrick. Yeah. We will have crossover. Go ahead. You talk about it now, and then I'll be talking about it later.
I grew up reading Stephen King at a gratuitously young age. So a lot of these stories are just built into my DNA. But this is one of them. And now as a dad, up to the point where he starts to murder his family, I'm like, you can go a little crazy. You
know, I was going to say, how much like you is this?
You can go real crazy being stuck up there, you know, in the winter with your family.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. Here's Johnny!
So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a classic through and through. I love the book. I love the movie. I even love the freaking TV movie with whatchamacallit from Wings. That's how much I love the story. I'm looking forward to the prequel coming out. I mean, how can you not include The Shining in a winter films list? So that's why I said number three. I'm sure it's higher on Gerald's list. We'll wait and see. And how high you put it. So
it's going to be on there, man. And this is one of the ones that's not really interchangeable. It's locked in. I mean, because it is winter. I mean, the whole goddamn movie is winter. So
they're there. They're there in the situation because of winter.
Yeah,
when I think of winter, like winter scenes, I think of like the most crazy visuals from that movie that are still in nightmares. So there you
go. I agree. I'll talk a little bit about it later. I already told you horror is going to make a big appearance on my list, so no not too shocked there, but not quite yet. So we're up to my number three. My number three is a comedy, and it's really the only comedy on my list now that I'm looking at it here. But, you know, I didn't want to do Christmas movies. I kind of eliminated them on purpose. There's a couple that are on my honorable mentions that I want to talk about later if you don't. But I just purposely wanted to leave Christmas off because we are going to do that top five someday. So I want to kind of just save those. But this one is more of a just an all around holiday movie. This is one that you could watch, you know, November or December, and it would be okay. I love watching it year round. If it's on TNT or whatever, I'll definitely catch a few minutes of it. But it's a film called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987. It's my number three.
Belle.
Oh.
Oh. Why did you kiss my ear?
Why are you holding my hand?
Where's your other hand?
Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're gonna go all the way.
Oh, yeah!
You know, just the immortal John Candy in there and Steve Martin. I mean, just a classic comedy. Some really quotable moments that come out of this movie. You know, the scene with him walking to the airport and using the F word about 50 times in that one scene when he's talking to the airplane agent. Just classic, man. It is a feel-good flick. It's a movie about friendship. It's a movie about getting home to your family, missing your family, and surviving. You know, this is in the 80s, so this is before really cell phones and definitely before the internet took off. And, you know, if you weren't with your family, if you weren't on a payphone talking to your family, I mean, you were missing them. You were trying to get back home to them. So it's a feel-good flick. It has its touching moments. I love it, man. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Someone mentioned this one, and I was like, oh, God, of course, because I can't put it on a Christmas movies list, in my opinion. So I feel like if I'm going to throw it on a list anytime soon, it's going to be on a winter list. So I wanted to put it in there, man. It's my number three. How do you feel about that?
No Thanksgiving films list, Gerald? Would this
be- You know, I played it. It's funny you say that. Me and Paul were talking from the countdown, and we were trying to think of something last month to do where we could do a Thanksgiving, and we're like, I don't really know how we're going to spin that. So what ended up coming out of that is Paul couldn't make it for scheduling reasons. So what ended up coming out of that was family movies, which we did with our boy Nick. And I don't know if you listened to that episode, but we ended up doing a movies you can watch with the whole family, which the kind of point was you're going to have the family together on Thanksgiving. You can watch these movies. And then Nick starts listing all these movies with people getting eaten by dinosaurs and R ratings and everything. But he's Nick, so he's going to do what he's going to do. But it was a fun episode. But we did think about doing that, Justin.
I still contend that was a horrible idea. And Nick should not give advice involving family or family films. So
I know, it's crazy, man. It's crazy, but he did good, man. He picked some classics.
Is Planes, Trains the number one? It's the number one Thanksgiving movie in my eyes. What else is there that like rises to the heights of Planes, Trains? Nothing.
It's got to be. Yeah,
I think it's great. And the two of them together, it's just like I watched that movie and just wish that we would have gotten at least, you know, 5 to 10. You know, John Candy would still be around now. It's amazing how good of an actor, how just like his heart just like beat out of his chest onto the screen every time you saw him, especially the two of them together in that movie. So
yeah, it's a sad thing, man. I mean, he's got an awesome catalog. I mean, really all his movies I can just enjoy from beginning to end. This is one of my favorites, though. This one's probably up there with maybe Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck. Yes.
Yeah, just I love him, man. Great catalog and gone way too soon. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, my number three. The only comedy on my list. And that takes us over to you for your runner-up, man, if you're ready. What do you got at number two?
Okay. I know this might be surprising to some, but when I get to my number one, I'll tell you why it's there. you think winter, you think the elements, you think being trapped somewhere, you know, that you don't want to be, perhaps with your family, you know, at Christmas times, or perhaps with a bunch of dudes in the middle of Antarctica. We're talking about from 1982, The Thing.
There you go. That's also my number two, so let's go ahead and talk about it. So you go first.
All right. So I love Kurt Russell. He has amazing hair, and I would like his hair. I envy his ability to grow different kinds of facial hair, goatees, mustaches in some films. And he's just like, you think of him as just like a good, solid dude actor. And so he's in this movie, a Carpenter film, with a bunch of other great, Wilford Brimley's in this movie, the diabetes guy is in this movie.
I love that too, yeah. One of my favorite parts about it.
The best practical special effects in all of any movie of all time. It's gross, it's great, you know, it's a masterpiece. That's why I had to pick it number two. When I think of winter being stuck somewhere, like I said, first is family sometimes, and then second, it's like a fucking alien that just keeps changing into stupid shit and, you know, eating my friends. So love it.
I agree, man. You know, this one is my number two as well. So we match up not only with the movie, but the same position on our list. John Carpenter, for me, I mean, is gotta be in my top five filmmakers of all time. I mean, I just latch on. I talked about that when I was on your show with Christine, which he also did in 83, a year after this. But Halloween, obviously, The Thing. I just love John Carpenter, man. I'm kind of hooked on all his flicks. And I think this is his crowning achievement, probably his best movie, followed by maybe Halloween shortly at a close second. But kind of like everything you said, I mean, obviously from a winter standpoint, I mean, no duh, right? I mean, it fits. The whole movie, they're snowed in. It's in Antarctica. It is the, if you looked up winter in the dictionary, it would be a picture from a still from this movie. And, you know, they're dealing with not only the elements, but they're dealing with this kind of mysterious creature. And this is a remake. You know, this was originally done, I want to say, in the 50s, perhaps. And The Thing from Outer Space, I think, is what it was originally called. Which I've also seen. It plays a lot slower than Carpenter's version. And even than the prequel they did a few years back, which I actually enjoyed. I don't know about you, but with Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I mean, people hated on it, but I love that kind of lore. And they revisited it, and I thought that was really cool. But obviously, 82 is a crowning achievement, is a masterpiece. The special effects alone, you know, the way they had to do it with the practical effects back then. I just watched this probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. I rewatched it, and it holds up, man. I mean, this is, if you're watching in the right setting, this is still a scary flick. I mean, this still can get you, the effects, I mean. And they're creepy, and they're scary, and they kind of dive into your imagination there a little bit. And I think John Carpenter is a master, and he really takes advantage of the winter setting in this film also. Because it makes you feel... When you're watching it, it makes you feel like the characters feel. You feel helpless, you know?
Definitely.
You feel like I'm trapped. I can't get out of this scenario unless I leave the theater, you know? So you kind of get that. So I'm with you, man. The Thing is also my number two. And I was kind of thinking we might cross over on that one because I heard you mention that on your show before. And I just drafted this also. Or not drafted. I'm talking to you. Everything's drafting. I just picked this when I did top five creature features as well as my number one creature feature. So you know I love it, man. So there we go. All right. So I think you know what my number one is. And I don't know what yours is, though. So I don't know. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first for your number one?
You go first because I think everybody knows what it is and we'll let you talk about it.
So you've already talked about it. But my number one is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining from 1980. You know, you mentioned it at your number three, which I think is okay, too. I'm not mad at you, Justin. But this is, well, let me put it this way. If you're talking horror in the winter, this is the movie. There's another one on my honorable mentions by Stephen King that I won't mention in case you do, but The Shining is just all winter. It's all madness. You know, this character is descending into madness before our eyes. The imagery that we see on screen, you know, whether it's real or whether it's imaginary, it kind of makes you feel a little mad throughout the course of the movie. You kind of share that with the main character portrayed by Jack Nicholson. It's just unsettling. It's just a very unsettling movie. Even the shots from overhead of the car driving to the resort in the winter, even that is a little unsettling because you're like, oh, these guys are going into some shit they shouldn't be going into, you know, and you kind of feel that on the car ride. I just love it, man. I mean, it's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I just got to watch it on the big screen last month at my local Alamo Draft House, and that was an experience. They actually showed it on Father's Day, which I thought was a nice touch. And I got to see it a couple months later when they did it again. But it's a great flick, man. Love it. Love The Shining. It's my number one winter movie. Yeah, Justin, I haven't done horror, but I wonder where this would fall on my horror list of all time. It would probably be in my top five if I had to guess, but
it would definitely be in my top five. So
yeah, it's up there, man. It's my number one. No surprise, you stole my thunder, which is okay because I'm glad it was on your list. But that leaves us to you, man. We've blown through it here. We're up to your number one, which I don't know. Are people going to be surprised? Am I going to be surprised? Or give it to us, man. What do you got?
So here's the thing. So my number one is a movie that came out when I was in high school. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like there's certain moments in your life. If certain movies come to you, they just speak to you and they're just kind of imprinted on you just because of the time and age you were when you saw them. So knowing that, my number one movie is from some of my favorite directors. They're brothers, the Coen brothers, and that movie is Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we met. But I dropped out though. Yeah, she dropped.
Yeah.
So where are you girls from?
Chaska.
Le Sueur. But I went to high school in White Bear Lake. Go Bears.
Okay. I want you to tell me what these fellas look like.
Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
In what way?
I don't know, just funny looking.
Can you be any more specific?
I couldn't really say. He wasn't circumcised.
Was he funny looking apart from that?
Yeah.
So, you were having sex with a little fella then?
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else you can tell me about him?
No. Like I say, he was funny looking. More than most people, even.
What about the other fella?
He was a little older. You know, he looked like the Marlboro Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But maybe I'm saying that, you know, because he smoked a lot of Marlboros.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a subconscious type of thing.
Oh, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah. Hey, they said they were going to the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, is that useful to you?
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Fargo's a masterpiece. It's probably Fargo and Raising Arizona, my favorite Coen Brothers movies. But I wrote a 20-page long paper in college about this movie. Roger Deakins, his photography in that movie is amazing. Acting work from everyone. I mean, William H. Macy, Steve Buscemi, Frances McDormand is a goddess in that movie. She's hilarious and then also sad, and it's an amazing film, and I just love it so much, and that's why I had to go with Heart Over Head for my number one, and put Fargo in the number one spot for me for winter films.
I love it, man. Did you ever watch the series on FX?
You know what? I have not yet. People have been trying to get me to watch it, but I'm such a like Fargo fan that I was worried that it might like taint it in some way. Are you? You've seen the series? What should I do?
I've seen it. You should check it out. Definitely the first season, especially. But it's not. You know, it's not a retelling. It's not a remake. It's just really taking place in Fargo. It's really the only similarity, to be honest. And it's a period piece, so it takes place in the 70s on the show, I want to say, maybe even the 60s. Kirsten Dunst is awesome. And I love the actor that was in Friday Night Lights that's on there, too.
Jesse Plemons?
Yeah, he's in there as Kirsten Dunst's husband. And
he's great.
Yeah, it's a great cast, man. It's a good show. It just shares the name, to be honest. So if you go into it, you're not going to be able to really compare it to Fargo, with the exception of the weather and the name of the show.
The only issue that I have, and we watch, you know, movies for our show, but when it comes to TV, it's hard with two little kids, and basically any TV show that I'd want to like watch a lot of, she mm-hmm. has to kind of be in on as well, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So any shows that we watch like in large quantities has to be agreed on by both of us. So I'll see if she'll watch Fargo with me, but like I said, I'm not averse to watching it. I just have kind of waited a while to see. So
right. No, that makes sense. All right, so I'll tell you what, man, why don't we do a few honorable mentions before we head over to social media and see what people had to say. Why don't you go first? You have a few honorables that didn't make your top five there, buddy.
I think I listened to your Christmas adjacent episode, and I'm pretty sure that both of these movies were on it, and I couldn't put them on my top five because I was like, even Christmas adjacent is too much. But two of my favorites from that genre are Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yep, they both were on there. They were mentioned by my guests, but yeah, they both did get mentioned on there, I think.
Love both of those movies, mainly because of the pairs in both of those. I love Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson together. And then I love, you know, Downey Jr. and my boy Val Kilmer in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. So those are both classics in my eyes. I love them. I watch them adjacent to the Christmas movie season. So those two are big ones for me. Other than that, I've got Misery, which I think we were both kind of talking about.
That's one of mine too, yeah.
Frozen for my kids. I think my 3-year-old is watching that right now. And then I love me some Morgan Freeman narration. So I March of the Penguins comes up when we're talking about
this. That's a good one.
So
yeah, you mentioned most of mine. The only ones that you didn't mention, well, I have Fargo on there. I also put Frozen on there. And Gremlins from 84, Batman Returns from 92. I would have easily put Batman Returns on my top five, but I had that on my Christmas adjacent list, so I wanted to do different movies for this list. But just so you know, that would have easily been in my top five had I not done that episode last year, Batman Returns. I love Tim Burton, and that's one of my favorite entries into the Batman catalog there. So let's head over to Twitter and see what some fans had to say, Justin. Let's do that real quick. I like to give these guys a shout out. So our buddy Paul, we already mentioned from the countdown, he said Carpenter's The Thing should be both of your number ones, and if not, he's disappointed. He put up a little gif of Fozzie Bear kind of covering his head. I guess he's going to be disappointed.
He can't tell me what to do. He's not our dad. He can't tell us what to do.
Well, we both had it at number two. That's pretty good. I mean, we both had it. The IMDb Journey, which I went on with them on your show, man, they said Fargo immediately comes to mind with a gif of Frances McDormand there. I agree. That's a great pick. It's on my honorables. Matt Lewinsky, he's got some good ones here that we didn't mention. Over on Twitter, he says Grumpy Old Men. That's a good one. Those guys are pissed off. I feel like I'm becoming Jack Lemmon from that movie. Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick it. I'm like, it's too close. Like, it's too close to me.
It's too biographical. Mystery Alaska, he's got. Cool Runnings, that's a good one. Cool Runnings is good.
You know what I didn't even think of? I'm what? Sorry.
Go ahead.
Cool Runnings made me think of it. Mighty Ducks. We could have gone with Mighty Ducks. We could have talked about Mighty Ducks for half this episode.
I can't believe Justin Winters didn't have Mighty Ducks on his list. That's a good point. I didn't think about it either, though.
Cool Runnings is a good one as well.
And then rounding out Matt's top five, he had Barricade and Misery. Mm-hmm. I agree with Misery. That's also my honorable mentions. I didn't want to do two Stephen Kings, and The Shining is the ultimate for me.
I did the exact same thing. I had Misery initially in at five, and then I saw somebody's got that exact five, I think on Facebook, so you'll get to them.
Awesome. Let's see. Christian Steele had Fargo, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Cliffhanger. I didn't think about Cliffhanger.
Ooh, good one.
I haven't seen that in a long time either. Groundhog Day and The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, good love it. Love it.
Good list there. Amy Thomason over on Twitter had a couple that we haven't mentioned. She says The Lion in Winter. I don't know that one. Do you know that one, Justin?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen that one, though.
I don't know that one. The Lion in Winter. She also had Fargo, Moonstruck, and Grumpy Old Men.
So Moonstruck. Okay.
Yeah, Moonstruck we hadn't mentioned yet. I guess I haven't seen that in so long, but I guess that takes place predominantly in the wintertime.
Then we'll head over. Winter adjacent.
Winter adjacent. Cool. And then we'll head over to our Facebook fan page. Guys, make sure you join up there. That's where we try to communicate with our fans the most, back and forth. And we had some good ones over there, some stuff. And people, I think, jumped on the Christmas train, Justin, a little bit early. And I tried to, in the description, I tried to say it just has to be set during winter, but what are you going to do? But they had some good ones. Tony Dabas, who was just on with me, we just did our on-screen movie duos, which is an episode that's going to be up shortly. But he's got Fargo, The Groundhog Day, Misery, The Shining, and The Thing. Is that your list you were talking about?
That was it.
That's it.
Fuck you, Tony, for taking my list and having to change the last minute.
Come on, take two. Let's see. Drew, love that guy, over on the Facebook fan page. Also said A Muppet's Christmas Carol. Love Actually, The Holiday. Jingle All the Way. That's a good one. Gingerbread Man and Krampus. I like that. I got a little horror element there. Kim Burns, a recent guest on the show, said Die Hard, Elf, It's a Wonderful Life, and The Shining. And then let's give a shout out to our boy Nick. You know, he's taking a break from the Epic Film Guys, kind of trying to get his life together. We wish him the best. Love that guy. His five.
I love that you laugh before you said that.
I know. Like, get your life together, dude. But he knows I love him. He loves A Wonderful Life. You've heard him talk about that before, right? He puts that on any list that he can fit it into. But he loves A Wonderful Life. He's also got Batman Returns, Lethal Weapon, Groundhog Day, and The Thing. So that's a great list there. And then the last couple I'll mention, Amanda, who is a frequent collaborator of mine. She's actually going to be on two shows in January. She's coming on to count down the top five movies of 2018 with me. She does an Oscars kind of podcast, so she's going to be a good voice to have on that show. And then she came on with me, and we did... what did we do? We just did Underheard Christmas Songs. Did you hear that episode, Justin? That was good. She had some good stuff for that one.
She's a lover of Saturday Night Live. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. I was too. And then she had some of the indie rock on there, which was cool. But she's got Fargo, I, Tonya. That's a good one. We didn't mention I, Tonya.
Great film. Yeah.
And that is actually winter for the most part. Cool Runnings, Sleepless in Seattle, Winter's Bone, which we didn't mention. It really got Jennifer...
Lawrence.
What's the name I'm about? Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence's career started. Mm-hmm. Winter's Bone. And then she also has Can You Ever Forgive Me, which I actually haven't seen yet. Have you caught that one yet with Melissa McCarthy?
It's in my screener pile. I'm plowing through it, Gerald, trying to get to the end here.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. And then Jen Bowman, last one I'll mention. She says Winter's Bone, The Shining, Fargo, Into the Wild, and 30 Days of Night. She also has Chronicles of Narnia on there. So that's a good top five from Jen Bowman over on the Facebook fan page. So that's it, guys. That's our top five winter movies with winters. I'm so glad you could do it, man. This would not have been an authentic list without you.
I mean, so Gerald, I put a winter-ish blanket down. You know,
I'm bummed.
It's 78 degrees and sunny outside here in LA, and I'm trying to be authentically winter for you.
It is crazy. What's the coldest it gets there for you guys? Like 60?
That's the thing. We have winter. We have summer and colder summer here in LA. So it's like if it gets down in the 50s, people are like, "Brr, let's put on a winter coat." So it's crazy.
I see that on social media. I envy you guys, man. We just had a lot of snow here last week. It was a pain in my ass.
I miss it, Gerald. You guys I like medium weather, so not like we're snowed in forever and not nothing like I have. I like some medium weather in between, so you're lucky to have a few snowstorms a season. I used to live in North Carolina as well, so
yeah
you'll be okay, right? Gerald, you'll be okay.
If I didn't have it, I'd be missing it. You're right. Well, listen, brother, I really appreciate you coming on. I know we'll be together again soon, and it's always a pleasure to have you. I want you to tell everyone where they can find you and Chrissy, man, because if anybody listening doesn't know, they need to get on that, brother. So tell them where they can find you guys.
You could ask Alexa or Siri, Google where we are. We're everywhere, man. We're on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and then on social media, we're at Movie Geekcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And final shout out, just because we've been talking about them this week on our show, we're doing a Christmas movies fantasy movie draft. So we have four ladies drafting their favorite Christmas films.
Are you gonna be like stern on what a Christmas movie is, or are you going to let them go nuts? If somebody picks Die Hard, what are you doing?
Gerald, I was drinking like basically White Russians during this thing, so I just let the rules just fly out the window. We're just celebrating the holidays, not getting too anal about Christmas films. So.
All right. So if they think it's a Christmas movie, that's good enough for you. I like that.
Sure, man. Sure. Nobody got too creepy, Gerald. We kind of missed you, so...
Anyway. That's unfortunate, man. That's unfortunate. You could have had three ladies and me, and I would probably be in jail right now. So
I just imagine you, like, we're not going to see you on the draft till like March or something, but you're like, it's like a creepy montage, like a creepy karate kid, like doing all your like moves and being creepy.
You know what I should do, man? I should send you a picture of me just kind of like peering over a shelf or something. You could put that on your wall so everybody sees it when you're on the screen. You know,
you're the best around, and you're like looking on the internet with like the...
Hey, I'm here for you, man. Whatever you need, whatever props you need, I got you, man. So look, I love this guy, Justin. He's on So I Married a Movie Geek. Him and Chrissy got a great show. Their information will be in the show notes. Make sure you check them out. And of course, all of our information is in the show notes as well. We will have a lot more top fives on the horizon. This is going to end December for us, so this is going to be our Christmas Eve episode, Justin. So this will be going up on Christmas Eve, and it'll be the last one of the year, brother. And then we'll be back in January with a lot more top fives. And I hope to have you back soon, Justin. Thanks for being here, man.
Gerald, it's always fun, man. I really appreciate it. I hope you and your family have a happy holidays, man.
You too, man. Merry Christmas to you guys too. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in.
I simply must go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
baby,
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been
lucky that you
so nice and warm.
look out the window where there's storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Oh, your lips look delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get home.
Baby, you freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.